The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Well, good evening and hello again, everybody. Welcome to hour number one of Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB Freeport, Long Island, New York. I'm Bill Donahue. I'll be taking you through the first hour on this Sunday night. It is the 29th, right? 29th of October. Our engineer, Brian Graves, is across the way helping me with very simple information that I should know. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Up first, we'll talk to the legendary joke man, Jackie Martling, about his new book, The Joke Man, Bow to Stern. In the second half, we'll welcome in former New York Ranger Sean Avery, who will discuss his new offering, Ice Capades, a memoir of fast living and tough hockey. So sit back and relax and enjoy Sports Talk 1240 tonight on GBB. We have some great stuff lined up for you in the next couple of hours. As always, before we begin, I invite you to follow us on our Facebook page, cleverly titled Sports Talk 1240. There you'll find sports information, show information, and more. So stop by, give us a look. Then you can click and give us a like. You can also follow us on Twitter at SportsTalk1240. And all past shows can be heard on our website at www.sportstalk1240.com. Well, my first guest is a comedy legend. He's a stand-up comedian, a writer, radio personality, author, actor, best known as the former head writer for The Howard Stern Show from 1983 to 2001. Since then, he's undertaken various projects, including acting roles in TV and film, and continues to perform stand-up. From 2006 to 2014, he was the host of Jackie's Joke Hunt on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. He released his first music album, Happy Endings, in 2008. He's written two books, Disgustingly Dirty Joke Book, back in 1998, and the new one that we're going to talk about tonight, The Joke Man, Bow to Stern. And I welcome to Sports Talk 1240 tonight, Jackie Martling.
I'm exhausted from listening to that. Jesus Christ, did I really do all that crap?
You're the man.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I'm telling you, before I go any further, I want to tell people how they can get the book.
Go right ahead, Jackie.
JackieTheJokeMan.com is the URL that brings you right to the Amazon page. One word, JackieTheJokeMan.com, and there's the Amazon page, and you can get the book in hardcover or Kindle, and it's also an audiobook on Audible.com, and you can get it right there. And the audiobook is great fun. The foreword of the book was written by my friend Artie Lang,
right,
who was on the show after me, and he also recorded the foreword for the audiobook. So it's a good package, and believe it or not, the book is selling like crazy. I could not be happier. I did five book signings in the last 5 days, and I'm totally fried and totally excited by everything, and thank you for talking to me, you guys. I appreciate it.
No worries, Jackie. It's great to have you aboard. Now, you're a local guy, as people may not know. You grew up in Oyster Bay, East Norwich, actually. How about those early days? Give us a little insight.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I was growing up, East Norwich was really a tiny hamlet, and people say, oh, you're from the North Shore of Long Island. You know, rich, rich, rich.
Yeah.
It is the Gold Coast.
Right.
But the people that lived on the estates had to have people that did stuff for them. My grandfather, not my great-great-grandma, my grandfather was a blacksmith, and his blacksmith shop was literally on the corner of my parents' property when I was growing up, you know. And we didn't have any money, so my parents lived downstairs. My aunt and uncle were upstairs. There was a whole storybook suburban thing, and then the suburban spread. East Norwich grew and grew and grew, and Oyster Bay grew, and like Paul Simon says, I was born at the exact right time, you know, a real gentle era. I was in college in the late 60s, which was as crazy a time as there ever was. I played rock and roll all through the 70s, which was another. I should have died four times before I ever even met Howard Stern.
Yeah.
In high school and college and rock and roll and 4 years of comedy before I met him. I mean, it's been a wild and woolly ride. And, you know, the people that are interested, my book is a linear timeline of exactly how I wound up on the show, which is an odd story at best. And so the book is about me and me getting through whatever I had to get through, and then the second half, even more, maybe the second 60% is stuff that happened on the show, me getting on the show, and famous stories that people already know but don't know the backstage scenes and how everything happened. And there's famous things from the show that are more fully explained. And the great thing about it is it's a timeline. It's a chronological thing, so people reading the book are going to go, oh, I remember what I was doing when they were doing the Channel 9 show. Oh, I know where I was when his book came out.
So it's, right.
It's going to be really, really fun, you know. And it's funny, and it's goofy, and it's a little naughty, and, you know.
It's like you.
Yeah, it's exactly like me. You know, it's not too bad, but pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, people that may not realize, Jackie, you have a degree in mechanical engineering from Michigan State.
Yep. Yeah, I knew I had to take a difficult major or else I would have flunked out of college because, I knew I was going to be drinking to me and going crazy. So I graduated in 1971 as a mechanical engineer, and I used my diploma to roll pot.
Yeah.
And, I never had any intention of doing anything but telling jokes and singing songs. And when I realized I wasn't any good as a musician, I started telling my jokes on stage. And, and I got really lucky. You know, it's funny because people say, oh, did you always want to be a comedian? I'm not even really a comedian. I'm a joke teller.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a comedian, there's two rules that are very, very important. You don't tell old jokes, and you don't laugh at yourself. That's all I do, is tell jokes and laugh at myself. But I've been killing people for 40 years, so I'm not about to switch now.
Exactly. You got a good track record going. Now, I remember going through Good Times magazine back when it was a viable publication, back in the late 60s, early 70s. Off Hour Rockers, I remember those guys.
Oh, man, that was me and my buddy Chris Bates, and we had a third guy who played piano. There were only three of us, and we played through the whole 70s. We got drunk, we got stoned, we got laid, we had a wonderful time, but we forgot to make money.
Yeah.
And we weren't any good, and at the end of the... This is a true story where we got done with a gig one night in a bar, and the other guy came in and said, listen, Jackie, we're gonna leave the band and start our own band.
Yeah.
I said, listen, if there's three of us in the band and two of us leave to start their own band, that's kicking me out of the friggin' band.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. I had my jokes, and I met some comedians, and we decided to do a show at a place called Cinnamon on the corner of 110 and 25A in Huntington.
Okay.
There were no other places to do comedy. We started a show, and everybody, you know, in the old days, like Eddie Murphy, Rob Bartlett, Bob Nelson, guys that got very famous.
Definitely.
We did this show there, and we started making money, and I started my 516-922-WINE dial joke to promote the shows in the barroom. That barroom show led to the East Side Comedy Club, which led to the whole development of Long Island comedy. My 516-922-WINE was made famous, especially by Rick Dees in California.
Uh-huh.
Used to tell his audience that 516-922-9463, he used to tell his audience that that was Tom Selleck's home phone number. So the thing rang off the hill. And then I sent my albums to Howard in 1983, and the rest is, like they say, history.
Yeah.
You know?
I was going to mention Murphy and Rob Bartlett and Bob Nelson, those guys. Certainly paramours of yours. I was going to mention the joke line, 922-WINE, which we remember from back in the day.
Now you know it's still going, right?
It's been nonstop
for 38 years.
Yeah, and you use your own equipment to record everything with that, right?
Everything. I've always done everything.
Yeah. Now, one thing that was brought up on Stern, I remember, was your relationship with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, the great thing about this book is all the stuff that came into question is all explained. That whole thing where they broke my balls about playing Rodney with jokes, that's completely explained. That was absolutely the truth and absolutely is documented. And when you read it, it makes total sense. They just, they work things around.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about when I apologized to my wife that time for the Just Con, all the facts and figures about me leaving the show and how much I asked for, there's a lot of information in this book. So it's a fun book for any performer or any comedian, because it's all about persistence and hanging in there and, you know, being, you know, you get real lucky. The harder you work, the luckier you get. And, but especially it's a real good tale for people that stand up for themselves. I mean, it's a fun thing. So far the feedback from people is that, you know, they're very surprised by a lot of the stuff they read, you know, which is really good. You know, there's nothing earth-shattering, and it's not a tell-all book. I mean, there was nothing to tell. Everything that we did, people knew already.
Right.
But this is from my point of view, you know, and it's pretty funny, you know.
Exactly. We're talking to the great Jackie Martling tonight on Sports Talk 1240. Now, let's talk about meeting Stern. You sent him your comedy albums. He liked it. He invited you on.
Yeah, what happened was I had three comedy albums out, and my wife and I were sending them to everybody and anybody, and I was working at a club in Washington, D.C., and the guy said, listen, there was a guy who just got fired here from the radio in D.C., and he's going to WNBC in New York. You should look him up because he's a riot. So I never heard of the guy. I didn't listen to radio. I was a hippie. I listened to, you know, cassette tapes of the Eagles.
Yeah.
So, me and Nancy sent all three of my comedy LPs and the matching cassettes and all my promo, just sent it blind to Howard Stern, care of WNBC AM, the same way as we sent out hundreds of copies of my crap, just throwing stuff against the wall.
Yeah, seeing what sticks.
A couple months later, he called up and said, hey, you know, do you want to come in? We're having a talent contest over the telephone, and we think your albums are a riot. You want to come sit in on the show? I was like, well, hell yeah. Because WNBC AM in New York City was a far cry from Governor's Comedy Shop in Levittown.
Right.
So I went in there, and at the end of the 4 hours, they looked at me and said, man, you're a lot of fun. Why don't you come back next week? So I came back once a week for 3 years for free. And then we went to mornings, and I was there 2 days a week and quickly went to 3 to 4 to 5. And then we syndicated to Philadelphia and JFK in Washington, D.C., and we went to Pluto. We literally went to Pluto.
Yeah.
And the first day I walked in there, it was me and Howard and Fred and Robin. And the last day I worked there in March of 2001, 18 years later, it was me and Howard and Fred and Robin. You know, the same gang. We were just like...
And fa-fa-fooey.
And fa-fa-fooey. And we just clicked like, you know... We just clicked. There's no getting around.
Yeah.
How well it worked.
What a team. Definitely. Yeah. Now, I remember coming in the K-Rock days. I used to have that on my desk when I worked in the city. I'd have the radio on in the morning all day listening to Stern. And you were the head writer when they moved on to mornings, as you said, in February 86, full-time.
Uh-huh.
Right. And as you said, Fred... Robin, and the Jackie Puppet.
The Jackie Puppet was much later. The Jackie Puppet was somewhere around 1988 or 89.
Okay.
Now, the story of where that came from, which is really funny and really interesting that nobody knows, that's a really great chapter in the book. A story of when the Jackie Puppet went missing is a great chapter in the book.
Yeah.
There's two chapters of the Jessica Hahn bathtub incident. A couple of Channel 9 chapters. It's just really a hoot. You know, the beginning of writing jokes and how it worked out and traveling with Rodney Dangerfield and a couple of the famous stories that we talked about on the show all the time, you know, throwing the urine out the window of the car and sleeping with the one-legged woman. People are going to go wild when they read the actual stories. And hear, I mean, sleeping with a one-legged woman altered my entire life.
Yeah.
You're just not going to believe it. You're just not going to believe it. It just changed the course of the river.
Right.
It's just so, you know, when you're young, everything is so happenstance. You don't realize how one thing is going to change everything after it, you know?
Yeah. Now, I guess the only one who hasn't written a book yet is Fred.
Well, I'm sure he sits home and writes a different book every night and then burns it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. No, that's true. Everybody. Well, John's working on the book, supposedly.
Oh, man.
And I still see Grillo all the time, but, of course, he can't read.
Yeah.
But we're having so much fun. I still see Grillo all the time, and Artie, of course, was great. I did his podcast a bunch of times, and I'm going on with Artie and Anthony Cumia pretty soon. I've been doing so much promotion. I did Bennington and Jim Kerr And I keep doing Mark Simone, and I appreciate you guys. And everybody's got the word on the book, and the word of mouth has been so great. And people are buying multiple copies as Christmas presents, which is the greatest thing for me. You know, if you have five friends, and they're all Stern fans, it's the simplest Christmas present
in the
world. It's unique. And I keep telling people the same thing. Think about when you've bought presents for your family and your friends, and you're wrapping your stupid gifts. How great is it when you come to a book? It's so easy to wrap. It's just one piece of paper, and it's so easy. It's like a holiday wrap in a book. I like, get a book, read it, then give it to somebody. It's easy to wrap. That way you can give it away. You already read it. It's a holiday. It's a holiday of a Christmas present.
Definitely. I got the packing list from the book the publisher sent me. It said Rosanna Scotto on it. So I Rosanna probably doesn't have a book because I have it.
Ah, that's great. That's great.
Now, let's talk a little about your albums, Jackie.
You know, I did my albums were self-produced, the first three albums, and the whole story of that is a real, you know, rags-to-riches pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, I borrowed money and I begged, borrow, and stole, and you know, produced my own album on cassette and bumped it up to quarter inch tape and then sliced it up with a razor blade and you know, literally produced my first three albums, and that's what got me on Stern. And then years later, I made my CDs, and you know, I did those myself too, and I got six CDs that are 80 minutes long each with no repeated jokes. That's 480 minutes of solid, filthy jokes. It's the most amazing collection. And, you know, and they're on sale right now. You can get all six CDs for like $20 from Oleo Records. And people love them, but they play them so much on Raw Dog and on what's it called? Pandora.
Yeah.
And whatever I always forget the names of these things. But if you go on Pandora and type in Jackie Martling, you hear so much of my albums. But in between me, it's like me and then Red Fox and then me and then Dice and then me and the, you know, it's they put me in great, great company. But if you like dick jokes, there's, you know, I'm the guy. If you don't like dirty jokes, I'm not the guy. But if you like dirty jokes, I am the guy, you know.
Now, did you socialize a lot with Howard when you guys were off the air?
Not a lot. Some. You know what? The most socializing we all did is when we went away to, like, London or New Orleans or Los Angeles, because then we were stuck in the same hotel, and we'd all hang out in the room, and, you know, I'd drink and Howard watch.
Yeah.
You know, when we were home, we didn't really socialize a lot. Because, listen, when you spend 5 hours a day, 5 days a week with people, that is really enough. You don't
need
another dose of it. You know,
it's like anybody wanting to go out with people they work with. You know,
right. Exactly.
Now, a lot was made about the exit. Give us a little insight into that. I mean, Howard had his own story. And
well, the whole thing is spelled out in the book.
Okay,
and it's interesting, but you know, it's funny because people ask me what happened, and when I tell them, they say, well, that's what you said 15 years ago. I said, because that's what happened. You know, I haven't changed my story. I'm an American. I had a job. I wanted more money, and they said no. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Now, there's more to it. I turned down when you see the facts and figures, you know, you're going to think I was out of my mind. But, you know, I'd been getting up at 4:30 in the morning for 15 years. You know, I was a multimillionaire, and I was famous, and I was a miserable bastard.
Yeah.
Because I could not make myself sleep. And it sounds pretty ridiculous, because all I had to do was take a nap. And now here it is, I'm almost 70 years old. And if you told me you were going to pay me hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, but the caveat was I had to take a nap in the afternoon, I said, are you kidding?
Yeah, I do that now.
When I get up in the morning, all I can think about is when can I lie down and take a nap?
Yeah, that's what gets me up in the morning is thinking about my nap.
Exactly, exactly. So it's wacky. You know, a lot of people think I'm crazy, but the whole thing is spelled out. But there wasn't any kind of ego thing or I wanted to be more famous. All it was a matter of I've been here since the beginning. we're making a lot of money, and I would like a little more.
Right.
And I, you know, it, I didn't ask for a crazy amount, you know, to price myself out of the ball game. I asked for an amount that was certainly doable, and they just didn't do it. It's that easy.
Right. And I remember the bit they did, win Jackie's money.
Yeah. They certainly had a lot left after I left.
We got Jackie Martling with us tonight on Sports Talk 1240. Now, the next thing is, were you surprised when he left terrestrial radio to go to satellite?
I was so surprised because was... wait, I'm going to tell him again how to get the book. Go to JackieTheJokeMan.com. One word, JackieTheJokeMan.com. The book's available in hardcover, Kindle, and audiobook, and Artie Lang actually reads his forward, and I do my own audiobook. It's really great. You know, I got introduced to Sirius Radio, and I had a good friend named Phil Iazetta, and he had a show in the afternoons where people called in with requests, but it wasn't songs, it was comedians. And if somebody called up and said, play some Red Fox, it was great. It was Raw Dog, so it was, you know, it was off-color stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, have a story about everybody you can think of in comedy, so I tell a story, and then people really loved it. And then I'd tell a joke, and he'd play some of my tracks. And then they were going to have me be the voice of Raw Dog. And I actually had a contract that, you know, we hadn't signed it yet. And then they said, listen, the deal's off the table because we think Howard Stern's going to come to Sirius. And I thought they were lying to me. Because to me, the whole show was dancing around the rules and going right up to the line. You know what I mean? And I didn't think he would ever leave terrestrial radio and go to Sirius. So I thought they were lying to me. And then, of course, a couple of months later, you know, he went to Sirius.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was crazy, crazy money. But I was a little surprised. But, you know, it certainly was a great move for him and a great move for them. And he actually gave me – I had my own show on one of his channels for like 8 years. I had a Dirty Joke
show. Right,
It was just a hoot. You know, it was one solid hour of Dirty Jokes every week, and people just loved it. Of course, I don't know how much they loved it, because all of a sudden they just pulled the plug unceremoniously, said, all right, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
You think Howard's going to read the book, Jackie?
You know what? I have no idea. Everybody asked me, is he going to have you on the show? I wrote to Gary and said, listen, everybody's asked me if I'm going to do the show.
Yeah.
I can't really say they won't have me on if I don't ask them and they say no. So I figure I'll just write to them and ask them. I'm sure they're not going to have me on. Will he read it? I don't know. If I was him, I would think he would read it out of curiosity. But who knows?
Yeah.
You know,
you got other things to worry about.
There's nothing mean or rude. You know what I mean? It's all enjoyable. And I know it would make him laugh because I made him laugh for 18 years. You
right.
know, I sat there. My most important thing on the show is I could make him laugh. You know, if you're a comic, and you don't even have to be a comic, but there's some people you just have a thing where you have their funny bone. There's certain people in life that I know I can make them laugh, and I can make Howard laugh. I don't even know if he's comfortable with that, but I can make him laugh.
Right.
And he likes
it. You must
that.
Have.
He loves
yeah.
It, you know. I mean, when we're on the air, he would deny it. You know, he would bite his lip and then tell everybody I wasn't funny. You know,
yeah,
that,
oh, yeah.
That was the whole game. You
yeah.
know, that was the whole thing.
Right, with anybody, yeah.
Right.
The greatest memory you have of being on the show?
The greatest memory was probably, well, the single greatest memory was sitting there with the three Bee Gees across the table from us singing a cappella
wow.
live. That was crazy. But making Private Parts, you know, the week and a half I spent making Private Parts was just crazy exciting, crazy exciting. And the Channel 9 years, you know, I can't have a favorite time because it was just all so great.
Yeah.
I mean, the growth, it was just, we were like a comet. I say we, it's Howard and I happen to be there. But I say we because we were a team and it was just... It was just hang on for dear life. And, you know, today we're on in, you know, Indiana, and tomorrow we're on Chicago, and then we're on in Dallas. And it was just so exciting. Every day is another press conference, and I'm writing a pompous speech for him to welcome himself to a new city. You know, it was just crazy. And then going on the road when we became number one here, there, and everywhere, it was a time to behold. You know,
yeah.
I think it jumps right off the book. I hope people enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together, you know?
I played that clip from Private Parts on my Facebook page, and just to watch it again was hilarious with the match game. And
that really approximates the show, too.
Yeah.
We really did play that game very often, and it was just like that, and that guy really did freak out. That's as close to real life as anything.
Yeah, good old Paul Giamatti looks so young in Private Parts.
You know, that was his first major movie. He's
yeah.
a very good friend. Whenever I see him, he just smiles because that was that launched him, and it was so much fun for all of us. You know,
he was good. Were you there when McCartney was on, Jackie?
McCartney left a couple. I left a couple months before McCartney
okay.
went on. I'm good friends with the guy that brought Paul there, and Paul said, "I really want to, you know, make a hit with these people." And he said, "Listen, Paul, you should go out, and the first thing you should say is F Jackie."
Right.
And he walked out, and he didn't say it. Could you imagine if Paul McCartney
yeah.
said F Jackie?
Yeah.
That's a whole great chapter in the book, because I finally ran into
pinnacle.
McCartney a couple months ago, and I told him a dirty joke at a movie screening, and he roared. And it was it's really fun. It's funny. I was at the Friars. I had a big book party at the Friars Friday night, and Jane Chevelle was there, who's Nancy Chevelle's stepmother or something like that. So Paul McCartney's her stepson-in-law or whatever.
Okay.
You know, so I was reveling her. I was reveling Chevelle.
Yeah.
Chevelle with my Paul McCartney story. And she was great. She says, you know, he just loves jokes, so I'm sure he gets a kick out of my stupid stuff, you know?
Outstanding, Jackie. Well, give us the rundown again.
To get the book, go to JackieTheJokeMan.com. One word, JackieTheJokeMan.com. The Amazon page pops right up, and it's hardcover and Kindle and the audio book. I'm going to be at the Cutting Room in Manhattan November 22nd. If you were a fan of The Stern Show, you remember me saying, "The wildest night of the year!" Because it's the night before Thanksgiving, so everybody's off, everybody's home from school. Everybody's come to town to see their relatives. So come to the Cutting Room at 32nd and Park. It's going to be a show, and afterwards I'm going to be selling books, signing books, signing autographs. It's going to be a real hoot. And I'm also in a sitcom pilot called Shoot Me Nicely. If you want to see the trailer, it's at shootmenicely.com.
Okay.
And I'll tell you how I haven't been lucky. For 69 years, I haven't been lucky. I'm in a sitcom pilot with Linda Hamilton. And 2 weeks ago, they announced that Linda Hamilton's going to be in a sequel to The Terminator, directed by James Cameron, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And she's in our sitcom pilot. So just, finally, I caught a break. It's like,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to be rich just in time to die.
There you go. Well, Jackie, it's been an honor and a pleasure speaking with you. I thank you for spending part of your Sunday night with us. Again,
well, I love it. I got one last thing.
Go ahead, Jackie.
If you like dirty jokes, follow me on Twitter, at Jackie Martling. I tweet a joke every day at 4:20 p.m. International Marijuana Time. I appreciate the airtime. I don't know if they sent you guys books yet, but if they didn't, I'm going to have them send you some books.
Okay.
So you got to text me or email me. Tell me where I should have them sent.
Okay.
Is WGBB, you're right there with WVAB, et cetera, right?
Oh, no, they're down the block.
All right, so make sure you
they have the good space.
All right, send me the address.
All right, I will, Jackie.
Thank you, man. I love
Take
it.
Care,
Thank
man.
You. Bye-bye.
Jackie the Joke Man, folks. Up next, we'll talk to perhaps the greatest former Ranger who's also a model, Sean Avery. So stick around, folks.
You are listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the contact us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks. Bill Donahue with you on this Sunday night, Sports Talk 1240 on GBB. Hilarious interview with the joke man Jackie Martling there, giving us a call from the North Shore. He had a book signing, I believe, at Book Review this week. He said everything went well, so folks should take a look at that book, especially if there's some Stern fans out there. Give that a look, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it very much. Pretty good sports weekend. You got hockey, you got basketball, you got football, and also the Fall Classic in full swing. Almost halfway through the NFL season. Giants with a bye today. Jets lose to the, who was it? Atlanta Falcons. And the Islanders not doing too badly. The Knicks stink, as everybody predicted. But it's a great time for sports, and we're going to be checking out the World Series in a little bit. Well, my next guest played in the NHL, a left wing for the Red Wings, the Kings, the Dallas Stars, and, of course, the New York Rangers. He gained a recognition for his agitating playing style. We'll check that with him. Some controversial behavior both on and off the ice. Also known for his eclectic interests, having worked in fashion, most notably as an intern at Vogue, as a model, and a restaurateur. He finished his 12-year career with a total of 90 goals, 247 points, and 1,533 penalty minutes. He's got a new book. It's titled Icecapades, a memoir of fast living and tough hockey. I welcome to Sports Talk 1240 tonight, Sean Avery. Sean, good evening.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Great. It's great to have you with us. Now, what I thought when I was doing my homework, you played for the Red Wings, but you didn't even get your name on the Stanley Cup.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't.
not good. I'd be very upset.
I think I got the opportunity to play on a team with 11 Hall of Famers.
Right.
And it was the best experience of my career, probably. So I nothing but good stuff came out of Detroit for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, great. Now, how did you feel about going to the Rangers?
Well, I felt great about going to the Rangers. I had come to New York for the All-Star break, actually, the season I got traded to New York. And the moment I landed in New York, I fell in love with the city. And a few weeks later, I got traded to the Rangers, and the rest was history.
Right. Yeah, you helped them get to the playoffs. That's certainly correct. And you ended up cutting your penalty minutes, too, while you were a Ranger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You cut your penalty minutes down by about 65% back in 2006-2007 compared to your past seasons. So I think you were working on your game nicely while you were with the Rangers.
Yeah, well, New York was for me, it was sort of, when I think about my career, I think about it being in a Ranger jersey, that's for sure.
Right. We're speaking with Sean Avery tonight on Sports Talk 1240. You went to the Dallas Stars in 2008. Brett Hull brought you over there. He was a former roommate of yours, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Now, how about your time in Dallas?
Well, my time in Dallas was short, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you returned to the Rangers after that, so that was probably pretty good. There was an incident where you might have made a off-color remark with Darcy Tucker. Do you remember that?
With Darcy Tucker?
Yeah, about one of the players had leukemia or something like that.
No, that's actually not true. And I actually won a lawsuit against the Toronto Star because a reporter wrote about that.
Yeah, okay. Very good, very good, Sean. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Marty Brodeur situation. Now, the NHL came up with what they call the Avery Rule because of this incident.
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, what made you do what you did?
Well, actually, I was trying to avoid getting a goaltender interference penalty.
Okay.
So I thought the best way to do that was to be able to see Marty Brodeur behind me, so he couldn't, tap my legs or do anything that would have me fall into him.
Right. Okay. So yeah, it certainly worked. You scored a power play goal at that time, and he was pretty upset. He didn't even shake hands with you after the series.
That's right.
Fatso forgot to shake my hand.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good old Marty Brodeur. And then, didn't you? You got upset when some guys took out your ex-girlfriends.
I got upset when some guys took out my ex-girlfriends.
Yeah. Didn't you?
Well, I don't know if I got upset, but I think I made a comment.
Yes.
You're referring to?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now, they suspended you, I believe, for that, but all was okay. And how did you feel about getting suspended for some of the things that you did, John?
Well, I only got suspended once for one thing that I did.
Okay.
And, I didn't feel pretty... I didn't feel very good.
Yeah.
You know, I felt... I felt shamed, yeah.
Yeah, I feel that way sometimes too, Sean. Don't worry about it.
I bet. I bet.
Yeah. Now, you didn't get along with Tortorella too well, but I'm sure you're not the first guy.
Maybe not.
Yeah. What was it about Tortorella that got under your skin?
Tortorella? Well, coaches that micromanage. You
okay.
know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sure, everybody has bosses that don't like when they micromanage. So.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Now, you were into advertising. You worked for the Lippman Agency. Talk about your days there. That's got to be real interesting.
David Lippman's a close friend of mine. He's been in the advertising business for a long time, and. That was another great experience post hockey, trying to experience the world, understand what I was going to do with the next 60 years of my life.
Right.
Things like that.
Now, as we said at the top of the show, you're a self-proclaimed agitator. What does that mean?
Well, I don't know if I'm a self-proclaimed agitator.
That's in the book notes. That's where I got it from.
that I'm a self-proclaimed agitator?
Yes.
Oh, what do you mean the book notes? The notes that your producer gave you?
No, the notes that they sent me from Blue Rider, from the publisher.
Oh, okay. Wow.
You got to address that, Sean. You got to talk to them about that.
Yeah. No, I know.
Now,
read the book?
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the stories. It's a real insight. I enjoyed it very, very much. Now,
what was your favorite chapter?
Definitely the let me take a look. I like the prologue, definitely. The I enjoyed reading about your exploits after hockey, really, because we're all familiar with what happened on the ice. It's the jobs you had after that I find fascinating.
It's funny, I didn't talk about those that much.
Yeah. The stories about Vogue.
Well, that was during while I was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's plans in the works for a reality show, Sean?
Nope.
No, okay, that's in the notes as well.
No, actually it's not.
Okay. Now, you always said that you enjoyed a good Gordie Howe hat trick. Can you explain what a Gordie Howe hat trick is for the folks?
Well, Gordie Howe hat trick is a goal, assist, and a fight.
Right.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Those are my favorite.
Okay. Now, what's the Sean Avery hat trick?
Well, you're going to have to read the book to find that out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I won't tell the folks. Let them find out.
Oh, okay.
Now, you slap Paris Hilton in the butt?
No. That's a
rumor?
No. That was a fun game that I got sucked into somehow at one of the many legendary parties that I write about in the book.
Definitely. Now, you're good friends with Brendan Shanahan. Talk a little bit about Brendan.
Oh, Brendan's one of the greatest power forwards ever to play in the NHL.
He sure is. And you playing with him, you had fans at the Garden chanting your name. What's that like?
Best feeling in the world.
For sure. Now, talk about a little bit about your foray into restaurants.
I had two very successful restaurants in New York City, Warren 77 and Tiny's.
Right. Excellent. Now, you also had a little incident with Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas, which I thought was a great move by you. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, actually, that's one of my favorite stories in the book. So you got to leave something for the people. I don't want to spoil everything, you know, Bill?
I gotcha. I know. And your time in Dallas, you really didn't enjoy.
I did not, no.
No. Warren 77. How about Brett Hull?
Brett Hull, greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL, in my opinion.
And a good friend.
My idol as a kid.
Outstanding. How about your relationship with Scotty Bowman?
Scotty Bowman, unbelievable coach. One of the, obviously, I don't have to say that.
Immortal. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the best.
Now, there was also something in the book where Kobe Bryant refused to sign a ball for you. That's pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
He did. Okay. You're killing me, Sean. You're killing me.
Is this your... So, have you ever done an interview before?
Of course. I just got finished with one.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're tough.
Good stuff.
You're tough. Why is there no steroid issue in the NHL, Sean?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. I've never done steroids. So I can't really speak to that, but I don't see that there's a lot of upside for hockey players doing steroids.
Yeah.
Based on what science says.
Exactly. Okay. Now, are you taking acting lessons currently?
I am, yeah.
And how are you enjoying that?
Unbelievable. Amazing. Love it.
Outstanding. All right. And how about your modeling career?
How about it?
Not many NHL players enter into modeling.
I mean, Ron Duguay modeled.
Yeah, the Rangers had that the advertisement for Sassoon jeans. That's correct. I don't know if you remember that. You might be too young. But that was
I watched it on YouTube.
Yeah, Duguay, Phil Esposito, a couple other guys. That was pretty interesting. Now, you played a small role in the 2005 Maurice Richard movie. How did you get into that?
I believe one of the producers called me and asked me if I'd like to audition for the role.
Uh-huh.
So I auditioned, and lo and behold, what would you know? I got it.
And you did a nice job. Outstanding. But you're also on Dancing with the Stars. You're the third contestant from Dancing with the Stars that I've had on the show. I've had Meta World Peace, the basketball player, and Amy Purdy, the snowboarder. And you weren't too successful, but it's still got to be tough to dance in front of all those people like that.
Oh, yeah, extremely.
And you had Karina as a partner. That's got to be pretty exciting. That's not too shabby.
Nope.
And you are also an activist for same-sex marriage, which not many athletes are. You've run into the gay community in your career, and you stand up for their rights, certainly. How did you get into that?
A gentleman called me that was running the campaign for marriage equality in New York and asked me if I'd do it, and I said absolutely I would.
Wonderful. Well, again, most of my questions were from the book notes, so I'll have to talk to Gretchen Koss about some of the discrepancies we have in here. But, Sean, I tell you, it's been a real pleasure having you with us tonight. I thank you for taking the time out of your Sunday night to be with us. Again, the book, folks, is called Icecapades, a memoir of fast living and tough hockey. And thanks again, Sean.
Unbelievable, Bill. Thanks again.
You got it, buddy. Take care. Sean Avery, folks. We'll take a commercial break. We will be back. Yes, we will be back right after this.
You know, it was a dangerous era, and all of Vietnam was dangerous.
The carnage of war left an indelible mark on me.
We came back and built lives. As time went on, we faced new challenges and found support to handle them.
I went to the VA, talked to my doctor.
I started doing groups. I started doing one-on-one counseling.
At MakeTheConnection.net, you can hear our stories and find tools and services available to you.
All right, folks, we're back with Sports Talk 1240. Man, that was rough. After talking to Jackie the Joke Man, whose cup runneth over, you get Sean Avery on the show, and one-word answers, and boy, was it tough getting information out of that man. A little insulting, but I can take it. I'm a big boy. But to say that the notes I got from the publisher were wrong, that's crazy. that's absolutely crazy. The publisher wouldn't put something out that's false, I can imagine. But that's the situation. We'll move ahead, and I'd like to talk. We have a caller. Go ahead. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill, it's Paul Spiteri.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, buddy?
I slipped it on. Actually, I was hoping to get your Jackie interview. I'm a big Stern fan.
Oh, yeah. They're going to replay the show after this, Paul. They're going to replay my show.
Oh, good, because I just listened to the Avery interview.
What did you think?
I wanted to call you 20 minutes ago. That he was absolutely brutal.
I mean, that was horrible. I mean, I was going through the publisher's notes, Paul, and he's telling me they're wrong.
Yeah, he was just not having it at all. I mean,
I was asking. There was the sloppy seconds remark about Alicia Cuthbert that he said he wasn't admitting to anything that he did. It was just like pulling teeth, and I knew I was going to have to bail.
Yeah, I thought you hung in there longer than I would have. I thought I would have cut him off around 8:42. I'm looking at it, I'm saying, why are you still on the phone with this guy?
I had a rough one with Gastineau a couple of weeks ago, too, where I believe the poor guy is just a little taking too many shots to the head.
Well, he's probably suffering from CTE. A guy
He is. But at least he spoke. This guy, like you said, Paul, it was absolutely brutal.
Well, I mean, listen, I think you lead him in with facts and you try to get a reaction. And he, as you let him in with whatever you're reading, he just was combating everything you said. It was tough. I should have called you earlier. I said, just cut this guy off.
Asking about Brett Hull or Scotty Bowman, and you get a one-word answer, and it's like, yeah, well, anything else? I'm looking at the book here, and I'm figuring this guy's got to be a good interview, you know, with the book, and he's asking me if I read the book, and, he asked me if I ever did an interview before, which was a little insulting, but, like I said, you get off the phone with Jackie the Joke Man, whose cup runneth over with information and stories and everything, and then you get this guy on the line. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, how was Jackie? What did he say about Stern? That's the part. I really wanted to hear that. I just forgot to put it on.
He was good. The book is really not a tell-all book, Paul. But he does talk about things that really, if you're a Stern fan, you should know about the Jackie puppet, about Win Jackie's money, things like that. All incidents that really are common knowledge about the show. I asked him about his favorite moment while on with Howard, and he gave a pretty interesting answer about having the three Bee Gees in the studio singing a cappella, and he said it's unbelievable.
Wow, yeah, that's good. He's a Long Island guy too, Jackie.
Yeah, I think he was at Book Review. I missed it. But he's going to be at the Cutting Room in Manhattan coming up on Halloween Eve. So if anybody wants to go check out Jackie, that's where he'll be. But yeah,
I have you, Bill. What do you think of our new manager in Flushing?
I think it's a pretty good move. I wish they would have held on for Girardi. Because I think that would have been a good hire, but there's no way they were going to bring an ex-Yankee in manage the club. But I think Mickey Callaway is a good choice. I think he has a good background. He's young, and hopefully he can straighten some of these pitchers out.
Well, hopefully he can keep. How about hopefully keep him on the field? That's where it's. That's where it's.
Oh man, that's
no one can manage a team that can't stay on the field. I'm a big believer that. The managers are important, but if you can't put the players in the field, it doesn't matter who the hell's sitting in the dugout.
Good point, Paul. That's exactly correct. And I think he'll get support from the fans. The fans supported Terry Collins through thick and thin, pretty much. I was very shocked at the Girardi firing, if you will, or however you want to put it, the release of Joe Girardi. He got them within and out of the World Series, and the guy loses his job.
That is inexplicable. But, the thing that I think as a sports fan, Bill, we all, maybe know but don't know is there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that you'll never know about personalities, things people do. There are so many stories I've heard off the record from people in and around sports. I'm sure you have that, people portray these guys like, it's perfect, and if you win, you stay. But there's personality problems, there's issues with the players. So many things that go on, just like you, Bill. If you're at your job and your boss doesn't like you for one incident that occurred, most likely you're going to lose your job. And it's the same thing in sports. No matter how successful you are,
that's happening.
Somebody has it out for you, and you're gone. And
exactly.
And people think that they operate in a different world because if they're successful on the field, that everything's fine. But it's not even close.
Exactly. Well, we're going to hit the road, Paul.
I
thank you for giving me a call and lending some support. I appreciate it.
Well, that's what we do here on Free Radio. And, Brian, I see you over there. Have a good night, too, and thanks for putting me in.
All right, Paul, take care.
Have a good one.
Paul Pateri, one of my colleagues here at Sports Talk 1240. That'll do it for me tonight on Sports Talk 1240. I'd like to thank my guests, Jackie the Joke Man Martling, and the great and wonderful Sean Avery. my engineer Brian Graves, and of course you guys for joining us. Stay tuned for hour number two. We're going to replay the Jackie Martling interview here on Sports Talk 1240. I'll see you next Sunday at 8 with Bernard King and Brad Delgarno, ex-Islander. Till then, Bill Donahue, wishing you a good evening, folks.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.